You guys are listening to a very special episode of Comic Tube. Do we call this the road to Comic-Con? Because we're literally on the road to Comic-Con. But for the first time ever, we have someone else on the podcast.
Hey!
Literally in the back, our super producer, Lori.
Yeah!
All right, so here's what we're going to do. We're going to have a casual conversation on the road to Comic-Con, but just general geek conversation. This is all inspired by when Anthony just mentioned something, and I'm going to hand it over to him.
So, I was just saying, I'm really digging the way Brandon Roth looks in the Kingdom Come suit for the upcoming, what are they calling it? Crisis on Infinite Earths. It looks...
Or DC's Endgame.
DC's answer to Endgame. It looks great. I like the way that they even gave him the white hair streaks.
Yeah.
What do you think? What do you think as far as...
You know what? Let's ask Lori. She's here. What do you think so far from what you've seen and what you haven't seen? And be honest about what you told me last night.
Well, I honestly have never seen... I've never seen Brandon Roth's Superman. And I've always been curious. I just never had the opportunity. I've also heard mixed reviews about it, which also kind of made me worried about actually watching it. But... I really like Brandon Roth as an actor after watching him in Arrow and then in Legends. And so I think I will give Superman a try. And then I'm excited to see him come back as Superman.
I don't want to say too much because you haven't seen Superman Returns.
Right.
I don't want to give it away. And it's terrible that this is a spoiler-free podcast now because you haven't seen it. But did you see the photo that he is the editor-in-chief of the Daily Planet?
I did see that. That was really, really cool. He looks, you know, I'll give the man credit. Like, he looks like a Superman. He looks like a Christopher Reeve.
Well, did you hear what it is? This is Christopher Reeve's Superman because it's in the same continuity. So they said, they said that his Superman is the same Superman from Superman 1 and 2 and Superman Returns.
Wow.
So it is Christopher Reeve-esque. I don't think there's a name for it yet. But because think about it. It's from the Christopher Reeve universe.
So that's exciting to know.
Yeah.
You mean the Sun villain is going to show up? Or no, he's dead.
No, because Superman 4 never happened. Even though I like Nuclear Man. I don't know why every... Nuclear Man. Did you say nuclear?
I said Sun Man.
Oh, okay. I liked him. I thought he was cool. He had weird 80s... He had weird 80s hair.
Oh, yeah. No,
but...
Total 80s.
Here's my theory for anyone that has read any of the Crisis comics, especially Infinite Crisis, because I feel like they're going to take some stuff from Infinite Crisis, even though it's Crisis on Infinite Earths. I think one of the Supermen will be evil, whether it's one of the ones that we've seen or one yet to be seen, aka possibly Dean Cain.
Yeah, they haven't shown him, and a lot of people were saying, like, where the hell is the Dean Cain?
I have a theory on that, but I'll continue that in a moment. But I also feel like there's something that three Supermans in this series have in common and no one has addressed it.
Lois Lane?
Oh, crap. Wait, babe, this is a spoiler. Do you mind?
No, go ahead.
All right, fine. Three Supermans that we know of are dads.
Huh.
Huh.
So you have... Someone's texting me. I'll get that in a second. So no, you like, have...
That was the bell.
Yeah.
Ding.
I'm like, wait a minute, so, that's dad number two.
That's dad number two. All right. So here are the three Superman parents. Dean Cain's Superman. It ended with them having a kid. That was the series finale.
Ah.
Right?
Okay.
CW Superman. We have, remember in Elseworlds, Lois Lane said she was pregnant?
Yes.
Right?
But does that count because it's an Elseworlds thing?
Still,
no, it wasn't Elseworlds. That was the name of the crossover. But what I'm saying is, there will be three Supermen. There are three Supermans that had kids, right? Because it's still Supergirl universe.
Right.
And the last one, babe, sorry, spoiler. Superman had a son with Lois Lane.
Brandon Roth. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
In Superman Returns.
Okay.
So yeah, spoilers. That little boy is actually Superman's and not Cyclops.
Oh.
Yeah. So, what if? What if
he's an abandoned dad?
Yeah. Yeah, that's the joke. He kind of that's what that Family Guy joke is about.
Oh, really?
Remember when he saw her pregnant and he flew away?
Oh, yeah.
That was making fun of Superman Returns. Like, oh, word? I'm out.
And then he creepily looked out his window at his son and didn't really do anything.
Well, we're gonna watch it tonight. Yeah. You wanna watch it tonight?
Let's watch it tonight.
Alright, cool. Now, what if Dean Cain's Superman is not in this, but the son that was left at the end is, and we see another version of John Kent.
That would be cool.
And he's the one represented, like, oh, my dad was this Superman, but he died.
And then Dean Cain will be the evil one that...
No. Oh. Well, here's my thing. What if the Superman Kingdom Come is the evil Superman? Because they never said if he reconciled with Lois. They never said if Lois ever told her son that that was him. She stayed with that guy.
Did she stay with him?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. At the end
they
of the
never,
movie.
There was never like, all right, that's my son. Are we back together? No, he kind of just flew away.
Huh.
So what if Kingdom Come Superman? We don't know what happened to Lois, right?
Right.
We don't know what happened to the kid at this point. They might address it. But I always feel, what if Kingdom Come Superman is like a Superman Prime?
I would like that. I think, though, I would probably want Dean Cain to be the bad guy.
I agree.
Just because after he finished Superman, he just did a slew of B-rated movies where he was like an abuser. And like he tried to be everything opposite of Superman.
He also kind of is that way in real life. I hate to say on Twitter... The dude is like he is the stereotypical Trump supporter, and I was shocked to know that. Oh, yeah. I really was. Oh god, yeah.
So I would want to see him be kind of the
come back as
the
like
evil.
The evil Superman, yeah. Prime.
Yeah, that's why they haven't shown
him. He'd be good at that. Yeah, what do you think?
I'm curious about it.
You sound very confused.
No, I'm not. I mean, yeah, okay, I'm confused. I never really got into, you know, Dean Cain's Superman. I vaguely remember the original Supermans, and I've never seen Brandon Roth Superman, so as of right now, my only real introduction to Superman has been the new ones with not the new ones, the old ones really, but
oh, Smallville?
No, not Smallville. I have
Christopher Reeve?
Not Christopher Reeve. Oh my god, what's his name?
Henry Cable. Oh right.
Yeah, him.
Okay. And see, that's my thing about Superman Returns was not a terrible movie. Hold on, hear me out. Well, check this out, right? Hear me out.
Okay.
Everyone always crap. Oh, Superman Returns sucked because there was no action. And then we get Man of Steel, and then we get action. Oh, well, it's not, you know.
Well, but that, I feel that those are, you have now mentioned two extremes. You have,
yes,
one movie where there's literally no action, and you have another movie where instead of Superman stopping an oil tanker from hitting a building, he flies through it, lets it explode on the building to crash behind them because it looks cool. So you have two very extremes of it. You don't have anything in the middle.
Right. So what if we had a Superman movie with Brandon Routh Superman, but with the Man of Steel script?
Nah, we need a new script.
Okay. I like Man of Steel.
See, but I liked Man of Steel.
Yeah,
I enjoyed Man of Steel.
Man of Steel was good. Batman versus Superman was terrible.
Yeah, that was
but Man cool. of Steel was good.
But you get Batman versus Superman because you got Man of Steel.
No.
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 Yes.
No. We disagree.
Because once you have Man of Steel and you pick that version of Superman and that tone, then you get that Batman versus Superman. Because you've allowed that Superman to fight Zod in the way he did. You allowed the Metropolis to be decimated the way it is. And you allowed this aesthetic of Superman saving people, but not really saving people. Like, he may have saved, like, two people on screen. And so that trickles to Batman versus Superman, where you're like, okay, well, we can push that now. We can push even more of that aesthetic. Don't get me wrong. Action of Batman in that movie was probably the best action of Batman that I've seen.
Oh, yeah.
In Batman versus Superman. But for Superman...
No, he was the worst. He didn't act like Superman.
Yeah. Well, but that's what I mean. It's like, that trickled from that movie. Where it was like, they were like, okay, we've kind of explained what this Superman is. Now we don't have to go into detail. You just kind of know that's this guy. He's troubled. He doesn't know if he wants to be a hero. And now we're going to take that and bring that into Batman versus Superman.
I mean, I could understand where you're saying where he's troubled and he doesn't know if he wants to be a hero. But I mean... That kind of makes sense. I mean, who wakes up one day and says, I'm going to be a superhero? Like, I feel like there's always going to be this internal struggle where you kind of want a normal life, but you kind of don't. And you kind of, you know, I feel like it humanizes him.
True. And I feel like there are moments of that in there, but not enough moments for me to be like...
Are you talking now specifically Man of Steel or Superman?
Both.
Oh, because I feel like you're talking more Batman versus Superman than Man of Steel.
Well, Man of Steel was confusing because he was always like, I don't know what to do. I'm confused, right? And so there was never a moment, and because it was kind of edited in a way where it was out of order, I never felt that there was a moment that he truly, genuinely believed why he should save people. Which, again, is like, that's not really a question he should have. It's like, yeah, if you're a good person, regardless if you want to be a hero or not, if you have the power, you should be able to distinguish, maybe I should save people.
So what you're saying is that Henry Cavill was not a bad Superman, but Kevin Costner was a terrible Jonathan Kent because he misled him.
Oh, no, I never said that Henry Cavill was. I think he's a really, the actor, the way he looked, I think that he is an excellent Superman. I just think everything besides that is a bad script, bad direction. Jonathan Kent, you know, that
oh God, he was the worst.
His character was, or even his mother was like, save him or don't save him, it doesn't matter. It's like, oh yeah, that's great advice, mom, thanks. That confuses him even more.
See, no, yeah, but I don't see it that way, you know. I mean, yeah, you always want your children to do the best that they can and do the best to help people, but think of what you would be putting on your children. She would basically be telling him, like, your job from now on is just do nothing but save these people. And I get it. If you have the power, if you have the means, you should do it. But that doesn't mean you should be forced to do it either. Especially if at times you just, if you're in love, if you want a family, like, you know, I feel like it can't be, you know, you're either it or you're never it. Like, I feel like there has to be some sort of balance between it. Otherwise, the poor guy would, like, drive himself crazy just saving people all the time and doing nothing else.
And I love that, and I wish that was the discussion that they had. Because he came to her because he said, people hate me, and I don't know what to do. So it wasn't the fact that he was burdened by he had to save people. It's that he was saving people, and they questioned whether or not he was truly a hero or a villain. And so I would have loved that dialogue. What you're saying right now, I would be like 100%. I love that idea of him wanting to be Clark Kent and wanting to be Superman. That was never the issue for him. His issue was, why am I saving people when they're attacking me and they don't think that I'm actually saving these people? And she's like, ah, save them or don't save them. It doesn't matter.
But that was Batman versus Superman. I'm going.
I know. I'm just saying. By what she was bringing.
Right. In. My thing was Jonathan Kent. Out of character completely. Because he's like, what do I do? Let him what are you doing?
But that's the same sentiment that they had in Man of Steel. Exactly. Jonathan Kent, same answer to the same question. Was I supposed to let them drown? Maybe, I don't know. It's just like, all right, well, don't listen to your parent, Clark. Apparently they just don't know.
And that's why he let him die by the tornado.
Yeah. Fuck it, right?
I'm just saying.
No, they kept that continuity. He's like, should I save my dad or not?
Do I do it or not?
I'll save the dog.
So I'm blaming the parents on this one.
See, but then again, you also have to figure that, despite the fact that he is an alien, he grew up on Earth. He has a human side, and as a human side, you know, think of it from a human logic. Are you gonna go around saving people if they're talking smack about you? You're going to be like, kind of like, fuck you. I don't want to deal with you.
Superman would.
Goes back to my biggest point in that movie, is that Superman is not supposed to be Batman. All the stuff of the internal struggle is a Batman movie. Superman is supposed to be the guy who is the leader. He's supposed to be the one that when you look at that character, you know that his head is on straight, and he's the one that you're supposed to go to for, like, okay, at least he's going to be the voice of reason.
If Superman gets any struggle, to build up on Anthony's point, which I agree with, mm-hmm, it shouldn't be from his parents. It should be from the Kryptonian side.
Yes.
The Kryptonians are the ones that are like, you're Kryptonian, you're supposed to do this. And he's like, well, no, I was raised on Earth, and I was raised to help people. What the hell is your problem?
Okay, fair enough.
And that's why Smallville was great.
And that's why I love the TV shows, because they really build on that internal struggle of, like, am I Kryptonian or am I an Earthling? Because technically I'm Kryptonian, but I was raised on Earth. And he has that struggle of constantly almost proving himself to himself that, no, I'm still an Earthling, but also to the Kryptonian side, which is like, crap, what do I do? And that's why I kind of liked a little bit of Man of Steel, of, like, Zod saying, like, you know, what are you doing? Like, you're a Kryptonian. You're supposed to be with us, not helping these people. And so I wish that they would have built upon that being his internal struggle, as opposed to everything else in his life, where it's just like, what do I do? Am I supposed to be a good guy? Am I supposed to help my dad? Am I supposed to save people? It's like that. He should already want to do that.
I agree with that.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
So, but the action again. Action good, just overall not good. Not good. Not good at all.
I like the action. I thought it was cool. That fight scene with Zod was awesome.
Look, I love Zack Snyder. I feel like he should be a stunt coordinator or action director. But other than that, story or direction, unless it's a horror movie or something along his like tone, he shouldn't touch. Like a Superman movie, he shouldn't have touched. A Batman movie, yes. That's his ballpark. A Spawn movie, sure, that's his ballpark. But a guy that's supposed to give you hope and a story that's supposed to fill you with hope when you're watching the movie, no, that's not his style. That's somebody else's style.
All right, so we had a nice little Superman discussion because, listen, a lot of us are passionate about our comic characters.
But I can't wait to actually see a Superman or Superboy Prime in the Infinite Crisis. I hope.
Oh, I hope that there has to be a Prime. There has to be.
Well, going back to your thing, it would be so cool if Brandon Roth's kid in his Superman is Superboy Prime because he's like, my dad literally abandoned me.
Oh, that's a good one.
I agree.
Because he would have abandonment issues.
No, I think
that's a build on that character.
And Superboy Prime is supposed to be like, Superboy Prime is literally Damian Wayne with Superman's powers.
Yeah, and that kid's got issues too.
Jesus Christ, he does.
But he was also abandoned too. So.
There you go. So abandonment issues creates a really crazy character.
DC loves to have their abandoned kids, man. Like,
to be fair, DC also kills the kids. So.
Yeah, that's
every
true.
Other thing. You're a kid, you're gonna die.
It's either your parents die or you die. That's you're a kid. Woo! You could go through some shit.
I told Leroy that one thing that I think needs to happen, which I haven't seen anything aside from Brightburn, is to have kind of like a, not necessarily like a Superman origin story, but more like a, what did the Kents have to go through raising Superman? And I imagine it's something to be along the lines of, you know, raising Jack-Jack from The Incredibles. You know, he has this little baby running around with lasers coming out of his eyes and not being able to control it.
See, I want it as a comedy, as like a nice little sitcom.
That would be funny. And they could play around with that because they never really said, like, there's so many different versions of when Superman acquired his powers. I think it would be funny if they're like, no, immediately he gets to Earth, like he's a Jack-Jack character where he can fly, he can shoot lasers as a baby. Like, I think that would be funny.
Yeah, because I think according to Smallville, his powers came with puberty.
Yeah, like his puberty hit, and all of a sudden, he's.
But see, I feel like it would be something along the lines of, as a baby, he has these powers, and then as he gets older, he kind of suppresses them, and then they return back in puberty.
Oh, I like that.
I like that idea that his parents kind of teach him to suppress it.
I always remember, I forgot which one of the Christopher Reeve movies, I think it was Superman 4 or whatever, when he went back to the Kent farm and he was fixing it, and the one neighbor's like, that was part 3?
No,
it was part 4. He went there for like a day, real quick. Oh. And it was like right after whatever, and then there's a crib there, and the guy go, oh, because he put that crystal away, remember? The last one. Then... there was a broken baby crib, and the neighbor is like, oh, ha, 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 you know, I always ask your father what happened, and he said, well, maybe Clark had a bad dream and kicked it.
But you see, that I think that would make a good little story to go on.
Yeah, and that was, and the funny thing was that Christopher Reeve's Superman, he was like, yeah, I probably did.
That would be cool. I wouldn't mind seeing that as a sitcom or as like a funny movie.
You guys ever seen Tiny Toons?
Oh, yeah, of course.
One episode.
Okay. Remember the little mouse that would sneeze and, like, blow up the house?
Yeah.
I would love to see that. Like, Clark gets sick because of some kryptonite thing. A little baby, like, achoo! And just destroy the whole house.
Like, he's gonna sneeze. And then the neighbor's like, what's wrong? He's like, get out of the house!
Well, it's funny because you guys are mentioning that, and in a way, that's sort of what happened in the comics with Johnny Kent. Oh. Not as a baby, but as like an 8-year-old. He couldn't control his powers, and the kid just like destroyed half the farm.
Oh, shit. Oh, wow.
And that's what kind of caused Damien to be like, what's going on? This isn't right. And he kidnapped him. And John's like, what the hell, man?
Oh, Damien.
See, I guess we're sticking to DC today on this road trip. I would love... All right, there's a lot of animated movies coming out. Yes. People might not have heard I'm going to release. I guess I'll try to release this really quick. There is one episode... They announced a Justice League Dark sequel animated.
Wow, really?
Yeah, not at Comic-Con, but just itself.
That's so awesome.
There's that. We already know Wonder Woman Bloodlines is coming out soon. Yep. They're doing an animated Red Son with Jason Isaacs. That's your guy, Lori.
He's going to voice Superman.
He's going to voice Red Son Superman, right. But what I wanted, the point I'm trying to make, if I may, I really want to see a Super Sons animated movie. I want to see Johnny, Ken, and Damien.
Oh, that's coming. That's definitely, I mean, it's...
You said an animated movie?
Yeah.
Oh, that would be cool.
I mean, that's where Damien always is, so why not have that Damien with, like, a 10-year-old Superboy?
No, that would be cool.
I could definitely see
That's my dream. That's what I want. I would love that. Or put him in Young Justice, finally. I haven't seen Injustice yet, but do something with them.
Yeah, I'm surprised that they haven't done anything with them yet, because from what I hear, it's like it's a really good comic, and it's a popular comic. And it's two kids. The series.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you're talking about...
The run that they had together. Super Sons. Yeah.
Well, it ended quick. That's the thing.
But I mean, like, yeah. To me, when I hear about that, I'm like, of course, that should have been an animated film, because it's got two kids in it, with superpowers, and it's like a young Batman and Superman. Yeah, they should totally
I feel
do
like
that.
This generation needs their own superheroes. Like, I feel like they need to expand. So if Damien and Johnny, I feel like they need to include new superheroes for this generation so that this generation has their own superheroes as well.
Well, they do. That's what the new Young Justice run is. The new Young Justice in the comics is like Damien, is like Johnny. It's like more people. I think there's like a Teen Lantern. I haven't picked it up yet. I'm waiting for the graphic novel. Actually, if they have it at Comic-Con, I'll pick it up. But you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, that's she's right. I mean, that's what you want to do every generation. You kind of want to spice it up, kind of give them something to look forward to, and then you could always go back, you know, and introduce the older characters so they can get more familiar with it.
Yep.
Okay, that's a cool little statue.
What statue?
There's a dog with a car on his nose.
Oh, look at that.
Sorry, guys.
No, we're good. We're currently...
Children's Hospital on 34th.
34th on FDR Drive. We're in New York City, guys.
I forgot what it was before, but I think they change it every once in a while. Now it's a dog with a car.
Oh, by the way, just in case anyone's listening, Anthony's driving. I'm holding the mic. We're all safe.
Yeah.
No one's not doing anything. That's why I'm talking more and Lori's in the back seat. We got 3 more days of Comic-Con. What are you looking forward to the most?
Enjoying my free time on some good nerdy, some good comic-y, some good anime, some good video games, some good whatever's there.
Are you going to buy something?
Maybe.
Maybe?
Maybe. We'll see.
All right.
We'll
see what catches my eye.
Lori?
I kind of like a little bit of everything. I love looking at the cosplays. I love going down Artist Alley and seeing, you know, what people have created. And I love learning about what video games are coming out and what new stuff to look out for.
Okay, that's the interview answer. Now,
no, but it's true.
I know. But all right, let me ask you this. You've been to Comic-Con as long as I have. What is genuinely, outside of looking at other things, from when you started to now, what is something that has stayed that's still your favorite? Don't text and drive.
So something that's my favorite from all the years that I've ever gone. Here's what you're saying.
Or whatever you want to say, just talk. You know.
I mean, I met Leroy, my husband, at Comic-Con.
That's me.
We got engaged at Comic-Con.
That's also me.
And we've had some awesome memories just with meeting new people and experiencing new things. I know it sounds like a cheesy answer, but it's true. I mean, that's what Comic-Con is. It's like, you know, you're coming home to a family that you haven't seen all year, and it's like, yay, how are you? How's it going? And you see random people, or if you're like Leroy, you can't take 5 steps without somebody calling out your name.
I feel attacked, but okay.
It's a great place, and it's a good place to really be yourself if you're geeky and nerdy and or just generally interested in this stuff. You don't have to hide who you are.
Yeah, you don't. But it's crowded and then it hurts.
Oh, God, yeah, the crowds suck.
Yeah, that's the one thing I'm not looking forward to is that every year it just seems like more and more people are just being like, you know what, I don't care if I'm a nerd or I don't care. Or just some people are like, let me see what's going on. And it's
You definitely also have people that are like, oh, I'm a geek. And it's like, really, what are you geeky about? Oh, I don't know.
And not that we're trying to gatekeep. If I may jump in. We get annoyed, for anyone listening, I don't want to say fake geek. I think if you have the interest, you have the interest, and you should be welcome with open arms. But if you are interested only for, oh, okay, well, I'm interested only for a day, but you never want to talk about any of the topics, or you have no interest in getting into it or whatever, then you suck.
Not to mention the fact that growing up, we were made fun of for liking this very same stuff, and suddenly it's like the cool thing, and everybody's like, oh, well, I like it because it's cool. And it just irks me because nobody else got picked on.
Nah.
Not that I'm saying people should get picked on, but, you know.
No, not at all.
Not that this is like a rite of passage going on here. We'd rather you not get picked on. But still, it was our rite of passage, damn it.
I always say the nerds won. What do I mean by that? People, when we were all in high school, junior high school, whatever you want to call it, it was hard to find someone who was into this stuff. It was for me. Mm-hmm. I'm speaking on both your behalves.
No, that's true.
You found someone who was into it, and it's like, oh my God, like, hi, like, we're friends, you know, like, this is great. And I've met maybe two or three people in high school from that. But I always say, people like myself, not that I'm doing it now, I'd like to, but people like us, we got to this age now. What do? We have grown-up jobs. Some of us are in charge of marketing. Some of us are in charge of creating stories. So what happens when you go into Hot Topic? What happens when you go into any other store? It's full of nerd stuff. Why? Because the person in charge is like, this is what we're going to push now.
Right.
And now everyone likes it. The nerds won.
Yeah. Yeah, we definitely won. But as with everything, you always have... and it's not everybody that goes there, but you'll have the people who are just into whatever's popular because they want to just kind of say like they're keeping up with the popularity. And so you'll have the people there that are just taking selfies and they don't really...
Exactly.
They're not there to see what's there. They're just there to be like, hey, I'm in New York and I'm at Comic-Con.
It's a status thing.
Yeah.
Like, look, I'm at Comic-Con, you know, be jealous. Like, and what Leroy said kind of resonated with the fact that growing up, we didn't really have a lot of people who were interested in the same things. I mean, goodness knows, I didn't get interested in it until I met Anthony and his friends.
That's you.
Yeah.
That would be me. Go ahead.
Yes, when I was 15 and 16, and they're the ones who introduced me to, like, everything from Dungeons & Dragons to Magic the Gathering. I mean, they were all geeks, man.
Yeah.
And I didn't realize that that's what I needed in my life. Yeah, so I credit them for kind of, like, helping me to bring it out.
Yeah, it's one of those things that you're hoping that you, when you introduce it to people, you're like, I think you would probably like something like this. And then you slowly start to show them all the geeky stuff and like, yeah, hey, wait, this is actually pretty cool. And he's like, all right, yes, yeah, it is. It's nothing to do with everybody thinking like, oh, this is weird or this is... No, it's there. It's there. It's good.
Nothing irks me more than someone's like, I'm a fan of this. Oh, cool, let's talk about it. No. Okay? That's happened to me, like, maybe three times. Not a lot, but it happens. But I always love it when I find someone like, you're into this? Oh, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, I know, blah, 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 blah. All right, cool, yay. But then, like, oh, yeah, I'm obsessed with A, B, C, and D. Oh, cool. Did you like this? Oh, okay, well, did you like this on the other thing you like? Are you just saying that you like things and you don't really like them? Like, all right, can I introduce you? You should check this out. I don't feel like it. Oh. Okay, bye.
You said you liked it. Yeah. Secretly.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh.
Okay.
Okay. I only like the title of whatever you're speaking of. Oh.
That's what it was. Oh, got it. You like the name. That makes sense. Yeah, I like Nike, and that's why I wear Nike shoes, but not because Nike fought, like, Reeboks or something. I don't know.
Yeah, actually, it's just like that. They look at it as a brand that is just a picture or just a name.
Which is why I think... the whole idea of buying Jordans for the sake of buying Jordans is stupid because of the fact that it's like, I'm sorry, Jordans are ugly and apparently they're very uncomfortable. So why are you spending $300 on a pair of sneakers that you're never going to wear?
It's the brand, yeah.
Yeah, F that. I like my Air Force Ones. Everyone's over here like, yeah, everyone from New York, the Timbs. Yo, my man, Air Force Ones. Come on. Let's be real.
Aw, honey, you didn't know about Air Force Ones until you bought them.
Oh, that's the joke. That's the joke. Hey, there's a Spirit Halloween here.
I was just going to say that.
I said it first. Oh, look, and there's the Tim's right there next to it. Oh, shit, we were just talking about that.
With a full New York costume. Go to Spirit Halloween and then buy yourself some Tim's.
I was going to say, you should talk about the Christopher Eccleston panel.
What are you excited about for that panel?
Well, we saw it yesterday.
So how was it?
No, it was great. Like, we were talking about how Christopher Eccleston was one of our favorite doctors, but I think even more so now after hearing him speak, because like he was actually talking like some real shit.
Oh, really?
Like he spoke about how he struggled with anorexia. He struggled with the fact that his father, yeah, has like dementia and like all this stuff, and he really goes into it, and then and he talks about the struggles with Doctor Who, how he loved the character, but then after a while, there were some issues between the creative director and, you know, like, there were just problems there. And that's why he only did the one season. And then because he left Doctor Who, he was then, like, pretty much shunned from, like, his home country.
What?
Yeah, because they spun the story their way and didn't let him really speak about it. And he didn't want to. Wow. So they started creating their own narrative and kind of made him the bad guy.
Kind of made it like he was the one that wanted to be the bad turn.
Yeah. And so he was saying that now, you know, he only started doing cons like this year. And he said it, he was like, he didn't realize how much of an impact he made with Doctor Who until he met the fans. And that kind of reignited his love of his character on Doctor Who.
Wow, I never knew. When you said that, I was expecting like him to just talk about, you know, Doctor Who stuff, but damn, that sounded like that's like the man's life right there.
He opened up and it made us love him a lot. It's like, wow, man, like, yeah.
And he's like, he's an asshole, but like one of those like good assholes, not like a dick asshole.
Oh, okay,
like, yeah. Me. Like me. We can say it, like me.
He's a fun asshole.
He is.
Yeah.
Yeah, he doesn't take shit from anyone. That's all it is.
No.
Like, he doesn't want to deal with, you know.
Yeah, because, I mean, the guy went from Doctor Who, then he did, wasn't he in the G.I. Joe franchise at one point?
Holy crap, that's right. He was Destro.
Thor.
Yeah. Was he in Thor?
He was Malekith.
Oh, right. Right.
No one remembers. He even said it.
Well, yeah. It's a dark world. It's
That's what he was. That's what he was saying, too. It's a dark world. He was saying that, too. But then he was also in a lot of serious things, and he was saying that he really enjoyed doing stage work a lot, and that he was really trying to do that. He said he really wants to do Hamlet.
Wow.
Yeah.
He was very proud of, like, I come from upper class, and I want to do, like, stage plays.
No. He came from middle class and lower class.
Working, excuse me.
He's from the working class, and that's...
Sorry, my mistake.
Yeah, that's what he was saying, that he was, you know, he was proud to, you know, come from that. And even when he did Doctor Who, they tried to change his accent. He's like, no, this is my accent. He's like, I'm proud of who I am. I'm not going to try to be upper class when I'm not.
Is he British or Scottish or...
He's British.
Oh, wow.
From the north. Oh, and he even admitted, which I thought was the funniest part, he even went in on, yeah, I didn't like Thor 2. I love Thor 3, but I was in Thor 2.
Which was funny as hell. Hey, at least he could, yeah, it sounds like he is truthful about his stuff. He doesn't pull punches.
He does come across, that dude is dressed like Tommy and has the hair like Tommy from Power Rangers. You see him?
It's the White Ranger.
Yeah.
White Power. Wait, oh no.
Don't.
Oh my. This is power. This is power.
That was Anthony, not me.
This is power. He yelled white power. Oh no, he says.
All right, guys, we're almost at the convention center. We're gonna put a pause on this right now. Please keep an eye out for our videos and interviews. Yep, that's it. Bye bye.